You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny with Pete in today on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks so much for making the show part of what is, I'm sure, a busy Wednesday for you. On the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our first guest of the day is Scott Allen. Enjoy his work in the Washington Post on the D.C. sports blog. News came out via the Post, and Scott was right in the middle of it yesterday, that Justin Kutcher is expected to replace Steve Buckhantz as NBC Sports Washington's Wizards play-by-play man. Drew Gooden, Caron Butler, a couple of former Wizards, will be splitting the analyst role in the chair next to him, once occupied by Phil Chenier. So in a couple of years, the Wizards have moved on from Chenier, a legend, and Buckhantz, an icon, as their broadcasters. Scott, I guess let's just start with your reaction to the news. There was a lengthy search. Buckhantz really hasn't, according to what he said publicly, been plugged in on the proceedings at all. But you guys are reporting that the decision's been made.
Yeah, Grant, I think the writing was kind of on the wall when they decided not to renew his third-year option back in March. I mean, just from, you know, talking to him, hearing him give other interviews while he expressed interest in coming back, and he didn't completely rule out a comeback, and neither did NBC Sports Washington, you really got the sense that it was going to be some other than him. And NBC Sports Washington, I think they did a pretty good job of keeping the candidates under wraps. I mean, we heard about some emerging, I think, in May, Dan Helley and Dave Feldman, some guys with ties to D.C. But I think Justin Kutcher, who I expect to be named sometime this week, it was a little bit of a surprise to me. He's a guy, and looking at his resume, he's been around. He's done this for 17 years, but no D.C. ties, and maybe not the big splash that you would think they'd be looking for to replace a legend like Buckhantz.
I think that's the just it right there. I mean, the one thing that seems to be in terms of reaction from Wizards fans is just the lack of D.C. ties at all here for Justin Kutcher. And you can't blame the fans for that. And at the same time, look, if somebody comes out and tells me that Steve – and look, I mean, I've done play-by-play for 31 years, so I know what it takes to do this. If somebody comes out and publicly admits they thought Steve Buckhantz lost his fastball and that's why they're replacing him, then that makes sense. If somebody within those decision-makers feels that's the case, own up to it and say that publicly – so Wizards fans at least have some semblance of an idea. But at the same time, you know, Scott, has there been any look at who were some of the other candidates? I mean, was there anybody else locally, besides Dan and Dave? Obviously, they've got a great guy on the radio in Dave Johnson. They could have certainly considered him. He's a very popular guy locally within the market. I mean, have we even remotely, at one point somebody said 12, but I mean, we've seen now basically three, Dan, Dave, and Justin Kutcher.
Yeah, that's the number that we ran with last night, and really right now, I mean, maybe some will come out in the next few days, and I'm trying to find out who else they considered. But yeah, Helley and Feldman, who of course were on TV here several years ago, Dan Helley now at NFL Network, and Feldman out in the Bay Area, those are the only two that have emerged besides Kutcher. Now, I understand that Kutcher has some family ties to D.C. He grew up in Connecticut. He went to BU and broadcasted basketball there. And then since then, I think he's living in Charlotte, and he's been doing all sorts of stuff for Fox, MLB, NFL, even dog shows and golf. But it's obviously huge footsteps to fill. And you mentioned, you know, it would be one thing if Buck was going out on his own terms, or if there was kind of a cry from the fans that it's time for a change. But at least those speaking up on social media and in the comments on sites, it's not that way at all. It's I can't believe this is happening. Way to alienate fans even more.
Yeah, and this is not going to be a good season for the Wizards. I don't think I need to be an NBA expert to tell you that. And for a long time, now I remember growing up, I would have loose leaf paper and do my own box score with a ruler and little columns, and Popeye Jones rebounds would be checked off as we went. And Buck and Chenier were the reason, and sometimes you watched. I mean, the teams were terrible for so many years, and Yep. This would have been one of those years maybe where at least a familiar face and a familiar voice could kind of get you through it. That's no longer going to be the case. Scott Allen of the Washington Post is with us. Do we know, like, what was this? A couple years ago, it was Shanier. Was there kind of like a slow plan put in place? Is this on the team side, or is it as simple as, is it a money thing that these guys have been around forever? Because, look, every business does this. You guys are laying off writers who make a lot more than the young guys that replace them. I'll be out of a radio show in 2 years because there's going to be someone who makes, you know, two-thirds of the money that'll do the same job. Is it that simple, or is there something else to it?
It's really hard to say. You know, I think when the Shanier thing happened, and then 2 years when it came out in March that, you know, Buckhance's third-year option was not renewed, I think there were some theorists that, well, this is Ted Leonsis's doing, because Monumental Sports Entertainment obviously has an ownership stake in NBC Sports Washington, and there's no way that whoever is at NBC Sports Washington is calling the shots here. And that prompted the GM at NBC Sports Washington, Damon Phillips, to come out and say, and he only got there, I think, in January 2018, to say that, look, this is my call. Hiring and firing, releasing, bringing in new talent to the station, that is my call. That is not Ted's call. So he's bearing the brunt of this now. I mean, a lot of the anger on social media is directed towards his Twitter account today. And he said his goal is to put the best broadcast team out there possible. And he left the door open for Buck Hansen's return, but it looks like he's opted to go in a different direction. And it's hard to say why at this point.
What do we know about Kutcher? I went back and just looked at some of his stuff on YouTube and other video sites yesterday. Seems like he's a network level pro broadcaster. I know that's not the story here, but I mean, they hired a guy who on a national level was kind of a rising star at 39 years old.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he's the type of guy, he's not a flashy name, like I said, but he's someone that you have probably seen or heard on a broadcast if you're a sports fan. Because, like I said, he's done NFL games. He's done a lot of college hoops. He's done college football, golf. I mean, he's done playoff baseball. He's done a variety of sports. I guess maybe basketball was his favorite choice. Like I said, he grew up in Connecticut and lives in Charlotte. But yeah, I mean, people will get to know him pretty soon. In watching some, I went back and tried to find some clips of him on YouTube, and he's not like it doesn't seem like a loud guy with a trademark phrase that anyone knows to make him that popular. But like you said, he's been at Fox Sports since 2012, at ESPN for 4 years before that. So he's a legit talent in the industry.
No, there's no doubt about that. I've watched him do a ton of Big East basketball games. Mm-hmm. But as you just mentioned, Scott, and your observation is right, the delivery on the big moment seems to elude him. And that I've just found him to be a kind of blah guy, which to me, if you're going to replace Steve Buckhantz, I just thought, and maybe Justin will probably turn out to be fine because he's a solid broadcaster. He didn't do anything wrong as a play-by-play guy. He delivers the proper descriptions. You know, his player identifications are perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. But Scott, I do believe for the first month of the season, he could be the first play-by-play guy that gets booed when he walks in the building just because he's replacing Steve Buckhantz.
Yeah.
And there are some people that feel that passionately about the topic. And that's, I know for a fact that because it was Buck, I know it kept some of us even from getting into the process at all because we just didn't feel like we wanted to be the guy that replaced Buck. You know, I mean, that puts that guy in an improbable position.
No, I hear you, Pete, and I'm sure that if he has been on Twitter at all in the last 12 hours or so, he's probably expecting
to be
booed.
What have I done? What
exactly,
am I doing to myself?
Exactly, when he walks in, too. How can you follow that? And, you know, after I started to see that reaction, and even in writing the story, I kind of asked myself, and I'm curious what you guys think, like, who could they, other than saying, okay, we explored our options, we decided we're going to bring Buckhantz back for a 23rd season, who could they have possibly brought in that wouldn't have gotten this reaction, right? Like, Kevin Harlan? He's not going to come do Wizards games. He's a guy that a lot of people love. I think there are very few names that they could have brought in that wouldn't have had people very, very upset with the decision that seemed to have been made in March.
Could have been. I think Dave Johnson, because he's got a relationship with the team,
true,
and he's very popular in the market, probably the only guy they could have brought in that would have not had the same we would not have had the same backlash. Just my
That's
opinion.
A good call. Yeah, you got a lot of people now saying, I am done with TV. I'm going to strictly radio party, or I'm going to watch it on mute, or I'm going to watch the opposing team's broadcast. I get the anger. I grew up here. I watched HTS. You're right. You could count on, more often than not, the Wizards and Bullets losing more games than they won, and Steve Buckhantz and Phil Chenier being there. At the same time, if the Wizards, against all odds, if Rui Hachimura is somehow in the running for Rookie of the Year and Thomas Bryant is putting a double-double up every night and they're competing for that eighth spot, people are going to tune in again to me calling the game on NBC Sports Washington. Nobody wants that.
I really want that, actually. By the way,
I didn't audition. I'm not one of the 12.
I never believe when people say that. Like, I'm not going to do watch this. That, it's like the this guy wins, I'm going to
right.
Canada bit. It's just, you're going to
watch. The numbers tell us different. Yeah, they still come back.
You're going to watch.
Yeah.
Scott, thank you.
Still,
good report
still understandable.
And great info.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Anytime.
Scott Allen, Washington Post. Go check out his work there. The Beltway Blitz at noon next. Let's go down memory lane with some of our favorite Steve Buckhantz moments, calls. If you want to chime in and just talk Buck, that is why we are here. I grew up in the D.C. area watching him like so many of you. It's a tough day that he's no longer going to be the voice of the Wizards, according to this report. 800-636-1067 is the number. We've got some highlights to play. Should be a fun stroll down memory lane on Buckhantz next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan on this Wednesday, July 17th for Wizards fans, a day that'll be remembered. Report came out late last night that Steve Buckhantz is no longer going to be the face of Wizards basketball. He'll no longer be calling games on TV for the Wizards, according to the Washington Post. The phones are open if you want to talk Steve Buckhantz. We've now seen both Phil Chenier and Buck leave over the course of a few years. You can chime in at 800-636-1067. Look, this is hitting me hard, because I grew up with him like a lot of young listeners to this show did. People that are your age, Pete, remember his first days. You didn't grow up with him per se, but you've seen his entire career arc here from when he was on Fox as a TV reporter, and Dexter Manley called him when he was contemplating suicide, and Steve Buckhantz legitimately, by way of calling Joe Gibbs and calling the police, maybe saved Dexter Manley's life, which is an incredible story. I mean, you guys have seen Buckhantz throughout his entire career here in D.C., he's a special person for sports broadcasting. And if you're a DC sports fan, he's been a huge part of your life. I'll just say this. The comp is with the Capitals, Joe Beninati and Craig Laughlin. And I understand any kind of visceral or sad or devastated fan reaction, only because, as I can relate to it for basketball, I cannot imagine, as great as Buck and Phil have been for the Wizards. You know, Phil left a couple years ago, and you had Kara Lawson come in, and you've had some Drew Gooden. Can you imagine a Caps game without one of those two guys? It's the exact same thing, basically. It's the basketball version of that in a lot of ways.
It is, and it's part of, you know, you and I were just talking. I mean, you know, Ted has been fiercely loyal to a ton of his employees, which, you know, makes this, you know, usually when teams and networks have a relationship, the team has the right of first refusal. In other words, like if a network wants to hire a guy, they'll go to the team and say, hey, we want to hire this person. And the team can usually push back and say, well, no, we'd rather have this guy. This is what doesn't make sense. Unless, and if Damon Phillips or whoever's in charge of this comes out and says, I believe Steve's abilities are not what they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or whatever, that's the reason why we chose not to replace him, then that's fine. You have the ability as a person in power to make that decision. You brought it up earlier. If CK felt there was somebody that could come in and do a better show than you and Danny, somebody else would come in here and do that show. So unless he comes out and says that, or comes out and says, look, you know, we did try to get contract terms to extend him, to keep him aboard, and the two sides couldn't find common ground. Say something. Just don't sit there and
But a
hide.
Lot of the time, Pete, it's not even that they're trying to do a better show or a better broadcast. When guys have been in place, and this is all speculative.
Okay, but if they asked Steve, because it was obviously an option.
Yeah.
If they went to Buck and said, okay, we'd like you to stay, but we'd like you to do it at this number. Do you think after all this time, Steve Buckhantz would have said, no, thanks, I'm just going to walk away?
Probably not, but I don't know. I mean, how much of a haircut are you taking? To some extent, it's a little bit of a slap in the face, maybe.
See, for me, I don't have to take a haircut.
But I'll just use round numbers. If you're making $100,000 and mm-hmm. they say we can only give you 55 as a icon in this town, or you know, some percentage change like that, at some point, it's not worth it for either party, probably. I don't want to go to him and disrespect him. But the world is changing and the business is changing, and maybe we can't pay what these legends are worth. We've seen it in local TV. You know, when I grew up, local TV sports broadcasters, no disrespect to anybody here locally, I'm friends with most of these people. But they were like, you know, they were Wes Mantooth and they were Ron Burgundy. And like these guys were they walked into the room and everyone was like, oh my gosh, look, it's Ron Burgundy. Now, it's like some random dude I haven't ever met before is at the game covering for channel whatever.
That's just because
you've gone from paying
in terms
these
of
guys,
local television, we don't have George Michael anymore. We don't have Glenn Brenner anymore.
Nobody does. They don't exist because right. You don't pay $600,000 anymore a year to have that role. You pay $75,000.
Sports is a 2-minute update now.
Correct.
On a local newscast because of this little phone right here, I can get any sports information I want.
That's
in
part
30
of it.
Seconds.
That's part of it. But a big part of it, Pete, is network. There's just not a value in some of these roles. And I'm not saying necessarily that, again, I'm team Steve Buckhantz here. I want that known. I would like to have watched him call Wizards games until I died. If Joe Beninati ever goes anywhere, it's going to be one of the worst days of my adult life as a sports fan. It'd be worse than a trading, you know, TJ Oshie or something, or some capital that I love. My point is, we're in a changing industry. Now, I'm not going to be able to make what guys in radio who I grew up listening to made 15
right.
years
ago. The business has changed.
Right.
The business aspect of it.
And I think if
changed.
You are a guy like a Buck or a Joe B or what have you, I think as time goes on, like in most jobs, as you keep going and your importance grows, like in theirs, you keep making more and more, and that's just not the way that it's working. Ryan's in Arlington on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I wanted to say that I don't think that he deserved this. I'm a huge Buck fan. And there's no, I don't know that he lost his fastball or anything like that. But if the company felt like they wanted to move on, the time is now because the team is going through a huge culture change with Tommy Shepard. They're making smart moves by like getting rid of Dwight Howard, and they're actually making, and their team is in complete recession. John Wall's hurt. They don't know where they're going. And if they're hemorrhaging fans anyways, and they're looking towards building a new fan base with a new face, both on the franchise GM and the announcers, the time to update everything is right now because they're at a low. They're
and
at,
your point is, yeah, this is a sea change, new GM.
Total reboot.
You are starting over on the floor, which is very true. Why not kind of make it an organizational shift? If you're going to do this, it's now or never time. I hadn't considered that. I don't necessarily buy the thinking because I'm not sure they had to change anything in the booth, but I get what you're saying. 800-636-1067. We've also got a few highlights queued up from some of the epic Buck calls over the years we can play in a moment as we take your calls on Grant and Danny with Pete Medhurst filling in capably as always right here on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Washington Post last night reported that Justin Kutcher, who works at Fox Sports, among other networks, including calling Big East basketball, is going to be the new face and voice of Wizards Hoops on NBC Sports Washington, that Steve Buckants will be out. Should point out, and this will be huge, in 90 minutes at 1 o'clock, we are going to be joined by Steve Buckants today. So that'll be awesome to talk with him and to get kind of the scoop on what's going on exactly. But Steve Buckants on Grant and Danny at 1 o'clock a little bit later today here on The Fan. So make note, make sure you're listening and spread the word on that. A couple of things I wanted to get into on Buckants, and we'll get back to the calls if you've got them at 800-636-1067. If you're on hold, stay put. Promise we'll get to you here this segment. First, I wanted to play a couple of clips that kind of exemplify Buckants. One thing I always loved about him is he does not pull punches, Pete. He was very good as a team broadcaster at letting you know that things were not good without necessarily saying things were not good, if that makes any sense. He had a tone where he would go, and the Wizards trail by 11. He had this, like, deflated, he was dejected way of calling something with great energy where you knew the Wizards are just playing really poorly. And if they were playing bad enough, he'd call them out for it. But he was opinionated and kind of broke the game down. He knew the game. Here was one particular clip we found that I thought embodied that.
I can't believe they'd be looking at this for any other reason. Why would they look at this? You honestly think this could be construed as intentional? Which isn't the definition of the flagrant one, which I say should be changed for the last 20 years. The definition of a flagrant penalty one is unnecessary contact. Well, I mean, anything could be deemed unnecessary. It should be, was that intentional or malicious, not just unnecessary. And clearly it wasn't intentional.
I don't think it's going to be anything more than a common foul when they come away from this replay.
It better not be, or we're going to start bringing NFL referees in here to work this game. They had a little bit of a difficult afternoon yesterday.
Well, they did.
Oh, my.
They did.
Wow.
Now, does the NFL select crews from the conference championship to do the Super Bowl, or is it just a completely separate crew that gets the Super Bowl?
Oh, no. Great question. I'm guessing those guys won't be selected.
So there's always kind of that biting sarcasm, some wit. But I think Bucket is best, and I want to know what you think about this, Pete. For me, Bucket is best will always be calling the late game heroic moment for both teams. You win or you lose, so many great moments like this one.
Gilbert, fade away.
Dagger!
Oh, it's Arenas! Arenas hits the shot at the buzzer!
Can you believe that?
And the Wizards have sucked the life out of Chicago in their own building.
What?
That was the playoff, right around the free throw line, pull-up jumper from Gil to beat the Bulls.
Think about it, Grant. What do we remember legendary broadcasters for? It's how they deliver in that big moment. It's what they say in that big moment. For Buck, he, of course, you know, came up with Dagger. I mean, he damn near could have copyrighted it and made T-shirts from it if he really wanted to in Wizards colors and probably sold them for several years. But that's what separates the great broadcasters from the mediocre dudes. It's how you deliver that big moment. And Buck always did that for this franchise. And you, as you put, the credibility of a broadcaster is on the line. It's how you deliver it in both good moments and bad. And he was able to do that without ruining the credibility of the game or, you know, making the fans feel like they're stupid. Because fans are not stupid anymore. Fans know what's going on. You don't have to dumb the game down for them anymore. Buck delivered in every single moment, whether it was positive or negative, because he's a great broadcaster.
Yeah, I would clamor as a Wizards fan for the late game finish. And even in the moment where they got beat, his ability to call the game-winning shot for the Heat, you know, backbreaker, and it almost,
because he delivered what the fan was
right,
thinking.
It almost made
point.
It more therapeutic and better. Here was a Caron Butler game winner that I thought, and it just shows off him painting a pretty picture here.
And the Wizards with 18 fast break points, 11 blocks, five of them from Haywood. 12 seconds, 12 points.
I was going to say, doing a job there.
16 and 3/10 seconds to go.
I think this is a situation you make sure you take the last shot.
Dixon has 8 points off the bench. Shot clock is on.
Dixon.
Butler with 8. Game tied at 98. Now he'll make his move. Butler, the jumper. Dagger! Caron Butler at the buzzer.
Wow.
And the veteran wins the game for Washington, 100-98.
Such a good call.
I get goosebumps, man.
Oh, it's so good. Makes his move. All he had to say was one word. I mean, that was so beautiful. It's not radio. He doesn't have to tell you everything going on.
Right.
Dagger!
And let's get a little more recent here with Bradley Beal, shall we?
Lob inside. Clock score! Dagger! Wizards win it at the buzzer! What a play and what a shot by Bradley Beal as Washington celebrates an incredible victory in Orlando. How do you like that?
Still my favorite Buck call of all time, Pete. Do you remember when Michael Ruffin threw the ball up in the air thinking, you know, he could run out the clock? The Raptors
Toronto,
grab it,
yeah.
Hit a game tying, I think, or game winning three, and he just screamed, "Not possible." That's literally what everyone was thinking, right? But he goes, "Not possible." And it was like almost like WWE announcer, like Michael Cole, like, "By God, King." He couldn't believe what he'd just seen. And that it was perfect.
The other one I remember from obviously a negative standpoint, I'm pretty sure it was Buck in Philadelphia when Charles Barkley hit a shot top of the key, and I believe Steve just went, "Oh no!" Because that's as a fan, that's what you're feeling at that point. If you're a Bullets or a Wizards fan at that point, you're going, "Oh no!" That's what you're feeling.
Let's go to Tom in Fort Washington on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. What's up, Tom?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I do appreciate it.
You bet.
You know, it just seems to me like, first off, I've met Phil, and he's a wonderful, kind guy. And
Chenier
radiates,
or Buckhead?
That he's a Phil. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil Chenier.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, and Buck radiates a niceness. He's obviously a nice guy. I don't have anything against him, but it just seems like with the passage of time here, it seemed like we're saying the guy's a legend. But honestly, when he first came on, I thought Mel Proctor was better, and I don't really think he's all that. You guys are kind of making him into a legend. He's just been around a long time.
Well, I mean, he's been around a long time calling every Wizards game of my lifetime. That kind of makes him a legend for me. I'll tell you that. I mean, he's 64.
And Mel Proctor was great. Let's not.
I don't think anybody's pouring cold water on
Mel Proctor was fantastic. Mel Proctor was fantastic as a broadcaster. He was great doing baseball. He was great doing basketball. He was fabulous as an on-air performer. There's no question about it.
I also think there's a romanticism and a history to this, too. And if you're from the area, you're familiar with it. I mentioned this. But, you know, Steve Buckhantz, this is before my time. My first group at Fox 5 was Chick Hernandez. And I'm trying to think of who he would have been with at Fox 5. Well, maybe Brett Haber, to be honest with you. Somebody like that. Like Wally Bruckner on 4 with Lindsay. Channel 9 was Ken Brew at the time. And then Channel 7 was Rennie Knott. But right before that era, Buck was the longtime guy at WTTG Fox here in town. And he was the one that when Dexter Manley was contemplating taking his life because he'd done some TV with Steve Buckhantz, he called the TV station and asked for Steve Buckhantz. I mean, I think that's something as a DC sports fan that kind of catapulted him into a level of special, unique broadcasters. Now, he also attended JMU in Harrisonburg, Virginia, so he's local. I think his earliest job, if memory serves, was in Atlanta, but he'd been in the market essentially ever since. Covered the Braves and the Hawks and then came here. But I don't have a file on Proctor of me watching, clearly.
Mel was great. He went on to San Diego to do the Padres.
You know, DC Sports has had, it was three guys when I was a kid. Now it's been a long time since Frank Herzog, but there were three guys. My childhood was Herzog on the Redskins. Now that's radio, not TV, a little different. It was Buckhantz on the Wizards, and it was Joe Bienlocker on the Capitals. That was the group. So I mean, it's personal preference for you to say, you know, what you did.
Sure,
that's your opinion.
Not everybody
I'm
is
not
going
knocking
to
you.
Not everybody is going to like every single broadcaster. No, I mean, we're all aware of that.
Yeah, you know this. This is a job where it's not being the president, but if you are universally liked, A, you're not good, and B, you're completely disinteresting. That's kind of my opinion. When I first started doing the talk show, I remember thinking, oh, man, these people are kind of mean on Twitter. Or there's a lot of people that don't like me. This is a job where you're just not going to be liked by everyone. And a lot of it is, if you're successful, people are envious. People are angry. Sometimes they just don't like your style. Sometimes they hate your voice. Whatever it is,
look,
it's going to happen.
Grant, I've always said this. There are some people out there that don't even like Jesus. So if they can't like Jesus, not everybody's going to like you either. So it's really that simple. You just show up and do what you do every day. It's just like anybody that's working any job. All the people out there work listening to us on radio.com in many respects right now. You just go do what you do every day. Do it to the best you can. I thought Steve Buckhantz brought us that every single time he got behind the microphone and put the headset on. That's all we can ever ask of anybody in any profession, in any business. Does that person show up every day and give us their best? And I thought Steve Buckhantz did that. That's all you have.
Antonio Williams on Twitter just said, this is funny, and this is so true. He goes, my favorite line from Buckhantz, score the field goal and he'll go to the line. That's a great all-time Buckhantzism. Score the field goal, he'll go to the line. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Pete's in for Danny. Our double play, what's going on? Nothing to do with sports. Next, Beltway Blitz at noon. You are listening to the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. P, why don't you get it started, and I will follow you up in the batting order.
You know, coming off of a weekend where, you know, again, had a chance to broadcast Nationals games and just a couple of different things that struck me in the beautiful city of brotherly love this past weekend. The fact that, A, got to have a great conversation with Adam Eaton outside of our hotel. What struck me was 6 seconds after we concluded that conversation, there was a gentleman probably around my age, maybe even older, who jammed a card right in Adam's face and said, hey, can you sign this? If you are a pro athlete, you cannot do anything outside of your hotel without being just swarmed by ungodly numbers of people. And from what, talking to Nationals folks, it was even worse, obviously, when Bryce was part of the team. You know, when you see a pro team show up, when the bus rolls up, Grant, they've got like these, you know, dividers so you can kind of separate the people, because
right,
there are hordes of people who are sitting there waiting, knocking each other over, desperate to try and get an autograph from a professional athlete. So it was really striking to me. The person gave Adam and I the courtesy of at least finishing the conversation, but literally as soon as I went my way toward Wawa and Adam went his way, put his headphones back in, boom, dude was wham, right there, right in his grill. Please sign this.
It's interesting to me that grown people, I guess
that's exactly right. If it's a kid, yeah. I got no problem with a kid walking up to a player asking for an autograph. But dude, this dude was like 55 with a card and a pen, Sharpie in his hand, ready to go. Boom. Sign it right now, please.
I know this is judgmental, and that's not my idea, but that's what it is, so I guess I'll apologize in advance. Like, everyone has different things that gets their juices flowing. Maybe I don't see it only because I grew out of it. There was a time, I can still remember, my buddies and I would go to ball games, mostly at Camden Yards. Nats Park, I remember a couple times doing this. It wasn't Nats Park, it was RFK Stadium. I was a teenager. And we would go and we would wait outside of like the player parking lot, or we knew where the visiting team's players would walk out of the ballpark. And we would buy baseballs on our way up. We'd stop at Dick's Sporting Goods. And I remember we chased Randy Johnson down the street and got him on the sweet spot once, which was awesome. We went to the team hotel one time. We would do that occasionally in Baltimore after games on like Friday night series. And we were hanging out with a bunch of guys from the Oakland A's. Like Jermaine Dye was laying on a couch. We went up and got an autograph while he was like macking on some chick. I remember I was strangely excited to get Octavio Dotel's autograph because he was like the one guy that I could recognize that was at the bar that night.
But when you're a kid, you're just happy to get any dude's autograph for the most part.
But I think, like most people, I grew out of that at some point around, I don't know, graduating high school. I was thinking, first of all, you realize none of these signatures I have, like, they don't age well, particularly, most of them. Mm-mm. Some of them will fade, or some of them will look odd anyway. But I like collecting things. I've got a bunch of stuff in my basement, a couple of things signed. I don't mind, like, jerseys that I'm going to frame that get signed or whatever. But just in general, the idea of the autograph as you get older, to me, it is, it's just weird when you see grown people, like, elbow and shoulder to shoulder with kids to try to get someone their age or younger to sign something. It's odd, and a lot of teams are going in a direction. In fact, the Redskins, I believe, are doing this year, where they've got a limit. I think it's like the 100 kids, 15 or younger, are going to get into this, like, autograph area. And, like, it's going to be hard for anyone else to get autographs. Something we're going to talk about, I'm sure, on GND either later this week or at the start of next week for training camp. Because I don't love that policy, because it takes away a pretty cool experience from a lot of people, and it also limits the number of kids who can get autographs, where I wish every kid could try to get one. But I do think it's odd that, like, 50, 40, 30-year-old guys are trying to get signatures, and I think taking the ability away from them makes some sense.
And what you're also doing is you've got all these people that are so desperate to make 75 cents off of their signature, because one of the great things Phil Wood has ever said is, those things don't go up in value until the person can no longer sign. You know what that means? That means when the person's dead. So that thing's going to be 75 cents for the next 15, 20 years. You're not going to be able to sell that autograph of the more moderate guy on the 25-man roster next week for, you know, $50 or something like that. But to pummel, when you see the older people pummeling people, elbowing them to get the autograph of a guy for a 75-cent ball card, even if it adds up to that much, it just doesn't make any sense to me, because they're just trying to sell it at a card show next week for a buck.
I will say, I'm still big on pictures. I get
excited
to get pictures.
That's what athletes have done, though, to counteract the autograph seekers now. They're more than happy to take a picture with you, because obviously, you know, people with their phone can just take a selfie in 10 seconds.
Right.
And a lot of athletes have gone that route, Grant. They're willing to take a picture with you almost any time, not necessarily write their name on a card because you're going to try and make money off of their likeness. Whereas if you take a picture with someone, it's more likely because you are a fan of that player.
You couldn't pay me at this point in my life, especially, and it's different because we do all the media stuff, but I'm saying if I'm just out of market and there's a player that I've never met that wouldn't recognize me at all and I love this guy, let's say it's J.J. Watt or something like that, you couldn't pay me to walk up and ask J.J. Watt at an event for an autograph. I just wouldn't in a million years want it or ask for it. But if he's walking out of a Chipotle and I'm walking in, there's a 1,000% chance, if he's not with someone or not in the middle of a conversation, I'm not really bothering him, I might say, hey, man, any chance I can get a quick pic?
We all do it now. Selfies with people have become a part of our fabric. It's part of the culture now.
But
I think the players have understood that. That's exactly what it is. It's more of a true memory for you because you like that player, or it means something to you because you root for that team, as opposed to then trying to turn it around next week to Fred, who's at a show for $1.25.
The autograph you could have bought at a store. You could have just, you know, lifted
readily
off of,
available.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time. Just search collectibles. If you're really into that,
the picture
then you
means
can do
you,
that.
You actually met that person.
Correct.
No, you
exactly.
had an experience. I love it.
I think it's
picture.
A great job by the players to go that route now than to allow people to kind of make money off of their signature.
Grant and Danny with Pete hanging out on the Fan. Time for the Blitz next. Charlie Slozu calls. Max Gaines, Greg Austin, our resident beat reporter. Both going to join us right here on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.